So we're continuing our sermon series this morning in the season of Easter called Fully Alive, Living in a Resurrection Reality. And to live fully alive means to be unhindered in the pursuit of the life that God has called you to. And there are some ways that we can be hindered by tangible limitations, whether it's illness or injury or some sort of social or socioeconomic inequality. But much of what hinders us is intangible. We have these feelings that we carry around of guilt or shame or fear, that there's some sense that we are lacking in some way. And that feeling of lack causes us to pursue an alternative version of life than the one that Jesus calls us to and the one that Jesus died and rose for us to have. There are these voices that are out there that are telling us that we are lacking in some way. Sometimes those voices are internal. They're the result of things that have happened to us in our lives that create this narrative that we are lacking in some way. There are voices that come at us that are external and communicate to us that unless our lives look a certain way, we don't belong or we don't have value, that we're not safe. And we're tempted to believe those voices, and it is the belief of those voices that is what actually hinders us from living fully alive. But there's another voice, the voice of the Good Shepherd who offers you and I a different take on life, who reassures us of who we are and whose we are, who invites us into a resurrection reality and proves to us that that is the only reality that's true. And what is that reality? What does a resurrection reality look like when we allow Jesus to be our shepherd? I was reminded in the last several days of Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is a passage that I've read numerous times. I've used it in funerals. I've taught Bible studies on it. It's a very popular and well-known devotional psalm. But I read it with fresh eyes, and the first verse really struck me. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing." Now, David was a guy who had seasons of high highs and seasons of low lows. His life experience ran the gamut of the human experience. And he writes these words, and let's just stop and sit with these for a second. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. It's a bold statement, right? To say, I lack nothing. If you lack nothing, what does that mean you have? Everything, right? When you lack nothing, you have everything. Now, we have to define what he means by everything. Everything defined as what you need to live fully alive. Everything as defined as what you need for the life that Jesus calls you to. I think most of us, if we were honest, would say that we don't always feel like we lack nothing, do we? And at the root of whatever complaint, whatever concern we have, is the belief that we are lacking somehow. So you'll hear people say, "I'm so busy." Well, when you say that, what you are believing is that you don't have enough time. You'll hear people say, "I'm so tired." And when you say that, you're believing that you don't have enough energy. You'll hear people say, "Well, the gas prices are too high," or "inflation is crazy," or "the economy is bad." But when you say that, what you are believing is that you don't have enough resources, money, financial security. But if the Lord is your shepherd, you lack nothing, which means that the Lord is your shepherd, you either have more than you think you have, or you need less than you think you need. David unpacks this further. He says, when the Lord is your shepherd, you lack nothing because you are provided for and protected. You are led to the places where you need to be, and that you are actually chased after by God's goodness and mercy, and that your relationship with God will never end. That's what the voice of Jesus is saying to you and to me this morning. Now, contrast that with the other voices that I talked about, the voices of lack. Which voice is worth listening to? Which voice is worth trusting? Which voice is worth patterning your life after? In our gospel reading, Jesus refers to himself as the good shepherd, and he contrasts himself with those voices that he calls hired hands, who act as though they are living for the benefit of the sheep, but when things go badly, they are nowhere to be found. Hired hands can come in a lot of different forms. They can be more impersonal forces that tell us that because we are lacking, we need to buy more, and we need to have more, and we need to rely on ourselves, and we need to be doing more. These voices that promise you the world but never actually deliver. These voices can show up in people as well. Anyone who's promoting a do more, work harder, get better, or else paradigm of living. Anyone who is seeking to monetize or capitalize on your anxiety about the way the world is and the way your life is. We're going to be seeing this a lot in the next several months, if we're not already, as we enter into yet another election season, and there will be people and parties who will be telling us that if we don't vote for them, that the world is going to end. Don't listen to them, because they've been saying that forever, and we're all still here. We see this in our 24-hour news cycles as we need to listen to this ideology or else. We see this in corrupt leaders and personalities of any ideology who distort the truth to match their narratives. They are hired hands. And they are not the true voice. That's one set of voices. And the problem with the hired hands is that they don't actually care about you. They aren't actually concerned for you. And when they inevitably fail you, they are revealed for what they are, empty voices with empty promises. But there's another voice, the voice of the good shepherd. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I give up my life for the sheep. Because Jesus is risen, his voice is speaking to you, providing you with resurrection reassurance that because the Lord is your shepherd, you lack nothing. Now, what does this look like practically? How does this play out? Because so often we can be sitting in these moments where we feel like we're lacking, and we're not sure how God is going to show up and lead us into what God has promised for us. My work with Zoe Oakland and doing campus ministry, young adult ministry, really has been a lesson in letting Jesus be my shepherd. So when I started this work last summer, it definitely was something I felt called to, something I was compelled to, that calling was affirmed by the other pastors in the area who wanted to see this happen, but who didn't really have any idea how to do it. And so I was sort of like, well, Eric's done this before, like he can probably do this. And so that, you know, was some vote of confidence, which was great. But there was also no shortage of funding. There was no shortage of energy around it. What we were short on was actual students. and actual young adults who could participate in the community that we were starting. We had a couple we were starting with, and it was great, but I knew that in order to have a sustainable community, we needed to be connecting. And so I would go to OU, and OU is a commuter campus, and there are people of all ages who are taking classes there. But when I would show up, there was this internal feeling that I didn't belong there. That, Eric, you're just this weird older guy, like, you have no reason to be here. This is not going to work out. Like, why would anybody want to talk to you? And it sort of came to a head this winter. And admittedly, I'm a person who struggles with patience, that I want things to happen faster than they often do. And I was really frustrated that we had not made much progress, that I was struggling to connect with students in meaningful ways. And what was worse was not only was I frustrated, but I really didn't have a vision for how this was going to play out. And I felt like, you know, we had all these churches that were supporting this financially, that were excited about this. We had been promoting it. And I'm like, man, like, I got to make something happen here. And there was pressure and it was stressful. And so I did something that, you know, as a professional Christian, like, should just come natural and easy and intuitive. I prayed about it. I know, like, shocking, right? Like that's not a terribly profound solution. And like, duh, Pastor Eric, like, you should know to do that. Well, I apparently hadn't been enough at that point. And the answers didn't come right away. But over the next few days, I started having these ideas that maybe I would have thought of on my own, maybe not, but I hadn't to that point. And so I thought to myself, you know what I'm going to do? We're a recognized student organization now. I'm going to set up a table, and I'm going to do a question of the week, and I'm going to write it out on a whiteboard. And because my handwriting is terrible, when the students walk by the whiteboard, they're not going to be able to read it unless they actually stop and turn their head to the side and kind of squint a little bit. And I'm going to take that as my sign that this is someone that I can talk to. And it did. And it started conversations, and some students would engage further, and so I took the risk of saying, hey, let's grab coffee. I want to hear more about your life, and I want to find ways to add value and to show care, and an amazing thing started to happen. The Lord actually was my shepherd, and opportunities for these conversations have begun popping up all over the place. To the point where they're like, I don't even have to go looking for them. They just happen. So last week we did a care package distribution. We had made up about 50 care packages for students for exams. We put them out on a table. They lasted about 10 minutes, which was awesome. The kids were just flocking up to when they heard free food and Starbucks gift cards and all this stuff. So it was great. Made some connections that way, but it was really just a blessing on the community. And so after all of that, I was hungry. And so I went over to, it's called Slim Chicken, and it's like a chicken, it's kind of like a wannabe Chick-fil-A. So I go over there, and the student working behind the counter was somebody that I had met before, that he had come to one of our Question of the Week tables a few weeks back. I had seen him around because he worked in the student center. And so I order my chicken sandwich, and he says, hey, I don't know if you remember this, but a couple weeks ago, you were meeting with another student, and I just happened to be sitting near you, and I heard you giving some really good advice, and I really need some good advice, too. And he started asking me questions, and I'm thinking, like, bro, I just want a chicken sandwich right now, but, like, I'm happy to listen and to talk. And so we have this, started having this conversation, and he's unaware that a line is forming of other people who wanted chicken sandwiches too at the register. And so I said, hey, like, let's swap information. Let's grab coffee. Like, I'm happy to sit down with you, talk with you, and kind of hear and offer whatever I can offer. As much as I thought, and we're meeting next week, so this is actually happening. Maybe next week I'll come back and report on how it went. As much as I thought I was lacking when this all started, only having a couple of students that were connecting and responding, feeling like the weird older guy who didn't belong on campus. Because the Lord is a good shepherd, I lacked nothing, and neither do you. The resurrection of Jesus provides reassurance that in Christ you have everything you need. Now, we have to reframe our mindset a little bit, because it doesn't say the resurrection of Jesus provides reassurance that in Christ you have everything you want, or everything you think you should have, or everything you believe you need in this moment. But the resurrection of Jesus provides the reassurance that in Christ you have everything you need and will have everything you need for the life that you are called to, both in this moment and beyond. Now, it's one thing for me to say that. It's a whole nother for you to receive it, for you to trust it, for you to experience it yourself. And so here's what I want to do as a practice this morning. We're going to take a moment, and I want you just to close your eyes. Okay, everybody close your eyes. I tell people to close their eyes, and I look around, and I see people looking back at me. So close your eyes, or I'm going to stand here awkwardly until everybody's eyes are closed. Okay? And I want you to think about something that you believe that you lack. Now, maybe it's something tangible like health or mobility or finances. Maybe that thing you lack is something that it's the result of something that's been done to you that has hindered you from feeling fully alive. Maybe what you feel that you are lacking is more intangible. Maybe you fear that you don't have enough, or you feel guilty for not doing enough, or you feel shame for not being enough. Wherever there is a sense of lack, I want you to just identify what that is in this moment. I'm going to give you a second to do that. Now, with that thing that you feel you are lacking in mind, I'm going to read Psalm 23 in its entirety. And as I do, I want you to reflect on the statement, I lack nothing. And let's pretend for a moment that that is true. Let's pretend that God has provided for you that which is the fulfillment of what you believe you lack. Now suspend disbelief for a second and imagine what might already be in your life that God has provided you so that you might live fully alive. So again, with all eyes closed, this is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He lets me rest in grassy meadows. He leads me to restful waters. He keeps me alive. He guides me in proper paths for the sake of his good name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they protect me. You set a table for me right in front of my enemies. You bathe my head in oil. My cup is so full, it spills over. Yes, goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the Lord's house as long as I live. So I invite you to stand and just continue to dwell in whatever it is that God is showing you. And then I'll close our sermon time in prayer. Lord, we come before you as a people who have very clear ideas of what we think it means to live fully alive. And when we are confronted with situations that hinder us in that, we react out of fear, we react out of frustration, we react out of anxiety, or even out of anger. And yet, Lord, you never promised us ease or perfection or a life without trouble. In fact, you guaranteed that in this world we would have trouble. And yet, in the midst of that trouble, we were to fear not, for you have overcome the world by the power of your resurrection. And so, Lord, reassure us of what is true, that in you we lack nothing we need for the moment in which we have been called to, for the life that we have been given, that in you we have everything that we need. Give us the faith to trust that and the clarity of vision to see it and the courage to follow you towards it. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.